When it comes to special elections in Wisconsin, they may not be the flashiest events in politics, but they do play an important role in our government. Typically, if lawmakers leave office before the end of their term, the governor, in theory, calls for a special election to replace them. But like everything else in politics these days, the reality can be a bit more complex. Case in point, some eyebrows were raised when Governor Walker opted not to call special elections to fill a state assembly seat and a state senate seat, both of which opened up late last year after the previous office holders took jobs in the Walker administration. That means both seats will remain vacant until this year's midterm elections in November. That got our friends over at WisConTex thinking about special elections and whether or not the governor's decision was rooted in precedent. So our next guest dug through nearly 50 years of state election records to try and gather some data on these elections. The result is a new series you can read right now at wiscontext.org. Scott Gordon is the associate editor for WisConTex, and he joins us with an overview of that series. Scott, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with the news that's going on now, Governor Walker's decision to not call special elections, so no elections till November on these two open seats. What have we heard from the governor about why?
Well, there's a few different justifications that have come out of the governor's office for this. One is that the language of the state law governing special elections technically allows them to do this. And it's a long story, but basically they're saying because these two legislators resigned their seats in 2017 rather than 2018, which is the year of the regularly scheduled election, they don't have to call the special election. Of course, you know, they did resign within the last days of 2017. So it's a bit of splitting hairs there and a bit of spirit of the law versus letter of the law, I think would be fair to say. They're also saying, well, you know, special elections cost money, and pointing out that these legislators, no matter what happened, wouldn't really be able to be seated in time for the legislative session that's wrapping up now.
So, yeah, one little fine point. If they had, instead of resigning effective December 29th, the last weekday of 2017, if they'd done it January 2nd, if that was a weekday, I don't know, if they'd waited that 5 days, we would have to have an earlier special election. Is that right?
Apparently so, based on the way that they're interpreting the law. And yeah, I mean, based on what the law actually says, they would have to if they resigned in January, and there wouldn't be this ambiguity.
And now critics have said Governor Walker should hold an election. You're leaving parts of the state unrepresented, technically, in the legislature. What kind of arguments are we hearing on the other side of this?
Well, the legislative staff is still in place for both of these offices. And, you know, obviously legislative staff can do a lot that's helpful for constituents, but that's still not the same, of course, as having an elected representative. And beyond the part of the year where legislators are actually debating bills and voting on them, you know, they're still doing stuff, interacting with constituents, studying issues through committees, probably raising some money, stuff like that. So it's not a job that necessarily ends when the legislature is done voting.
Now, let's get into the main part of what you did with this WisConTex piece. The question is, this is a long delay of special elections. Is it an unusual delay? So how did you try to set out to answer that question?
We basically looked through state records of when elections have been held, when legislative seats have become vacant, either through a legislator, dying in office or resigning, or in some rare cases, being removed from office because they were convicted of a crime. And we also looked at executive orders that governors had issued calling special elections, which helped us. And basically, going back to 1971, we were able to piece together, a whole spreadsheet of when vacancies happened and when elections happened, you know, to the best of our ability through scraping through legislative records and so forth. And through that, we were able to kind of calculate the intervals that usually happened in these vacancies.
And before we look at those intervals, these are special elections. They're special. They're not that rare. These do come up fairly often.
Right. I mean, it's fair to say it's part of kind of the routine business of keeping state government going is, legislators are people like the rest of us with unpredictable existences. Sometimes things come up. Sometimes they die or get really sick, and sometimes
or get a cool new job.
Sometimes they get a cool new job, which seems to happen more and more frequently as you get into the modern era. But yeah, and so of course that this has to happen every so often is they have to be replaced so that those seats are represented in the legislature.
And then you tackled that interval between the effective resignation and when a special election was called. And it looks, looking at your charts, like it's kind of all over the place in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to put a number to it that's the normal baseline for it. But if you look at the vast majority of these cases, and we looked at about a little over 100 cases where a special election was called to fill a vacancy, for the most part, that's happening within, 50 to 100 days. That is the interval between the vacancy opening up and the actual election happening. Under state law right now, once you call the election, you have to wait between 62 and 77 days to call it. So, of course, there's a natural delay built in just because of the way the law works. But Walker's decision to leave these two seats vacant for a little over a year is really a major outlier to all of this.
Talking to Scott Gordon from WisConText about special elections in Wisconsin. And let's get to that outlier. How does Governor Walker's delay on these two appointments compare with what else we've seen over the last, almost 50 years?
Yeah, it's way out there. I couldn't find another example in all this research going back to 1971 of a time when a legislative vacancy stretched on for that long, whether or not it was filled by a special election. We also, obviously tried to dig up as many vacancies as we could that weren't filled by special election for one reason or another.
Means they just wait till the normally scheduled election that would have happened if the legislator had stayed, right?
Right. And there's instances where just because of the timing and the way the law works, that makes sense to do. But yeah, I couldn't find quite anything else like it. And I did ask the governor's office, is there a precedent for this? Was there an example that you've seen of this that you would cite to justify this? And they declined to offer any examples.
And so in a nutshell, these seats will be vacant for more than a year, right? December 29th of last year through the elections this year. And then those people who are elected in November don't actually get seated till 2019. Do I have all that right?
That's right.
And the past examples you've seen, the outliers before this were about 200 days. Do I have that right?
Yeah, there's been a few of those that we found. And again, there could be any number of things behind that. We weren't really able to figure out exactly what the reasoning was in waiting a little longer on those. But even so, those were a couple of rare outliers, and this most recent thing with these two vacancies is an outlier far beyond even those.
Let's dig a little deeper into history. You went back to 1971 for this analysis. In part, that's because things changed. The rules changed. The procedures changed. Things were different in the past.
Yeah, and usually the records that you're working with just aren't perfect, and you try to make the best with what you have. The folks at the Legislative Reference Bureau and the Wisconsin Historical Society were really helpful in pointing us to the correct resources. And yeah, and sometimes when you get further back into history, the records that you might need might be a little bit more scattered or just harder to find.
And you cited a report from the mid-1960s, and one of the special election examples they give was a young, fresh-faced fella named Fred Risser.
That's right. That kind of tickled me to see because, of course, I live in Madison, so he's, my state senator, and we all know that he's, I think the longest-serving state legislator in American history or something like that. So it was funny to see that kind of, not everything changes, but a lot of things too, I guess.
Are there any efforts to change, clarify, make more precise our special election law in Wisconsin?
Well, Democrats in the legislature have filed a bill that would basically make the language in the special elections law a bit more specific. Right now, it requires the governor to fill seats, quote, as promptly as possible. And this would actually put a solid number to that, saying that the governor has to call a special election within 60 days, because obviously as promptly as possible, that leaves a lot of things open to interpretation. And even in that report that you mentioned from 1963 that someone wrote at the Legislative Reference Bureau, they were pointing out that the language of laws and the Wisconsin Constitution that govern all this really do give governors a bit of wiggle room as to what to do. And, you know, in this case, at least, they're running with it and arguably inventing more wiggle room than actually exists in the law.
And there's a political background behind all of this. People are watching special elections in state legislatures pretty closely this year, watching for signs of what might happen in the big elections in 2018. Democrats, after losing a lot of seats in state legislatures over the last bunch of years, they seem to be picking up a lot of seats in these. So Democrats maybe would like these special elections to happen to pick up seats, and Republicans maybe would want to hold off.
Sure. I mean, I've had it pointed out to me that if Democrats could, you know, score that surprising victory in the 10th Senate district, then these two districts that were vacated could possibly be within reach. And, you know, you see these some upsets happening here and there. There was the that election in Kentucky just this week, and, you know, some seats in Virginia and so forth. And it's true that Walker kind of staked out his position on not holding these special elections before the 10th district election happened. But even before then, of course, there were lots of indicators that this could be something that would actually be competitive.
And an interesting sidebar here. You think of academics and political scientists. They study the heck out of everything. You talk to some academic researchers. Special elections don't get a lot of attention.
That's what I found. Yeah, it's a surprising thing because it's routine and it does have some, you know, influence over what happens in state government. Less the special elections themselves than just the implications of when a legislative seat is vacant. So it was surprising to me. And also it makes you a little more trepidatious as a reporter when you're trying to like flesh out something and there aren't, you know, there aren't these other bodies of work out there to refer to see, like, how does what I'm finding measure up to what other people have found? So that was really interesting. It was really shocking to me.
You ventured into uncharted territory. Scott, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much, Rob.
That's Scott Gordon, associate editor of WisContext. He joined us to talk about his new series on the history of special elections here in Wisconsin. You can read more at wiscontext.org/special elections.